Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So, Eric, right after we record this episode, you're going to get your wisdom teeth taken out.
I am, and I'm a little nervous. I had a couple of nightmares last night. There was a serial killer chasing me, but then it turned out that he was just an actor and he was a really nice guy. So I've interpreted that as I'm very scared and anxious going into it, but then in the end, it's going to be fine.
But what I'm worried about is, are you saying it's wisdom teeth, but you're going to come back next week with a whole set of veneers?
I make no promises.
Am I going to get a Kyle Richards makeover from you?
I'd rather the Lisa Vanderpump. No, yeah, I don't know. They keep saying that it's like, oh, you won't be out for that long. It's fine. It's in and out. It's no big deal. Like, I don't know. I'm nervous, but I think I'll be okay.
Okay.
So by the time this episode comes out, I will have survived it, hopefully. So you guys send me tweets and make sure that I'm still alive.
So we have to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac reunion part two. Mm-hmm. Real Housewives of Orange County, they're still in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And Real Housewives of Dallas, they're still in Mexico.
Everyone's on a wellness retreat, or they're like vacationing, or they're yelling at each other on a couch.
Yes.
Plus, we have interviews with Cameron Westcott from Real Housewives of Dallas and Gisele Bryant from Real Housewives of Potomac.
So Real Housewives of Potomac, I feel like I loved part two, but what a tease of an episode.
Well, I know. So I was saying this earlier to Sarah that I thought we were only getting two parts mm-hmm. of this reunion. And when he was like part two, and then at the end they were like, oh, next week on part three, I was like, oh, thank goodness. Because they were kind of teasing like we'd see the house husbands yeah. in part two. But I'm a little bit like, maybe they changed their mind and they decided to, you know, stretch it out. Because honestly, let's all be honest, we deserve a three-part reunion for Potomac.
Oh, 1,000%. And now I'm even more excited for part three.
Yeah. Yeah, so part two, the house husbands were kind of just lingering backstage. There were a couple shots of them hanging out, and like Michael was sort of off to the side a bit. It seemed
but
like...
then like watching them
yeah.
from the balcony.
Right. One of the things that a little bit offended me maybe very early on in this part of the reunion was when Candace and Monique were going at it, and Candace referred to Monique's behavior as hood behavior. Mm. And then Candace was doing this whole kind of elitist thing. Like, I grew up in like country club neighborhoods and blah, blah, blah. And Monique was like, I grew up in the hood, okay? And I'm proud of that.
Have you exhibited any hood behavior this season?
Sure. I've exhibited uncouth behavior.
Okay.
No, it's
hood,
very
hood. I wouldn't
use that
word. It's
very hood. Even the way you tweet,
I wouldn't use that word.
It's hood.
I'm not from the hood.
It's
I wouldn't use that word.
It's hood. I'm from the hood and I'm proud. How about that?
Very good. Be proud.
You go, girl. But you act like you're from the hood. Butter knives and all.
I was born and raised in a country club
like
community.
It.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I was saying earlier, I don't like when there is that issue of where you're from and how you grew up. And especially I feel like within the Black community, because colorism has been an issue on this show previously. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of like, it says a lot about Candace and the way she maybe perceives the other women. Like, no matter how far you sort of come in life, you should always respect someone's origins.
Yes.
And I didn't like the way that she was coming after Monique, especially in that way, because I think she knew it would probably affect her in a different way.
But don't you think it's also a little not great to equate certain behaviors with Hood?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a bad representation, I think.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, I think, that Candace maybe fundamentally at the end of it all thinks she's above
right.
a lot of these other women.
But Monique's the one that said you were acting Hood.
That is true.
Yeah.
But either way, the two of them seem to not really be able to get past their issues, and I'm not sure they ever will.
Yeah, Monique is angry at her.
I mean, it also seems like Candace is not very good at accepting more responsibility. And I think she thinks that if she just is the loudest one in the room, that might make her right. But I don't think she's really listening to what Monique's saying or some of the other women.
Right.
There's a lot of growth that needs to happen, Candace. CandyGal08 on Twitter.
That's her handle?
CandyGal08. Yeah, I think so. Mm. I have a lot of handles memorized just from like having to tag and think, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kyle Richards 10. Or is she Kyle Richards 18?
18.
Okay. See, you have it memorized too.
I do.
So they talk a little bit too about Giselle and Karen and their dynamic and their friendship. And you'll hear in the interview later on, I mentioned to Giselle at one point that she and Karen are like best frenemies. Like, it seems like they really are very supportive of each other in so many ways, but they just seem to not be able to get along for a long period of time. There's always something. And the question comes up of who starts it usually. Is it Giselle or is it Karen? So I think it's very often Giselle who starts it, and Karen is very quick to follow up and to snap back at anyone, not just Giselle, but Karen will defend herself immediately if she feels threatened. But I think Giselle is the one who kind of stirs up the most drama, particularly with Karen.
Right, because that was the consensus, right, that Giselle starts it, Karen finishes it.
I think, like, Ashley was like, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Everyone sort of was trying to be a little diplomatic about it, but I think everyone probably would answer Giselle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and she does it with everybody. I mean, showing up to Robin's house party, like the open house, the way she did, immediately off the bat, starting shit with Monique.
Well, I'm just thinking about how even in the office when Giselle was here,
yeah,
she made a comment, like, she was not, you know, in the interview. We were just talking, and she was like, they get upset when I'm messy, but also, what would we be talking about right. if I wasn't?
Right. It's true. Yeah. She was hanging out after the interview and we were just like, oh, Giselle, this has been such a good season. And she's like, I know. Like, she knows that I think she has to be the one to do it because maybe nobody else will.
Right.
And we are grateful for that. So thank you, Giselle.
All right. So Robin confirmed it in this part of the reunion that it was Juan.
Mm-hmm.
Who Michael allegedly said, I want to suck his sausage,
right.
something like that.
Right. Well, that's the question that I have about the whole thing, because it seems like both Chris Bassett and Monique's husband, Chris, have both said the word they heard was sausage. And the ladies seem to think that it was a very specific line of, yes, I would suck Juan's dick. So do you think that in the midst of all of this, like, drinking and partying and up all night, and just maybe there was a general confusion about what was said, in that maybe Michael was literally making some kind of off-color joke about something to do with Juan's sausage? Like, what if he was just, like, eating a sausage and that was what they were talking about?
I don't know, because didn't Robin say in this episode, it would be more suspicious if we had the exact same story?
Yeah, which I kind of felt confused by.
If we were making this up, don't you think we would have the exact same story?
I do feel like it's not genuine.
Was it something that you ever discussed with Juan?
I had to once. Michael called Juan and asked him to tell me to stop talking about him.
Got it.
Ooh.
then I had to explain what happened.
What was his response?
He laughed first and then told me to shut up.
I didn't. I got what she was saying. It's like if you and I like walked in and we're like, well, he was wearing a red shirt and he said this while he was tying his brown shoes. It's like that's a lot of details that you have memorized.
Right.
Interesting. Whereas just like, I know what he said.
Right.
Like,
okay.
We heard that he said this thing. Yeah. The exact wording doesn't line up, but the feeling was the same.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so I understand what Robin's saying. And I honestly, I don't think Robin is lying.
No, why would she lie about that?
Exactly. There's no advantage to her lying. There would be no reason behind it. But what was interesting, too, by the end of this conversation was the point that the ladies were trying to make to Ashley, and I think you and I have talked about this, too, previously, is that through that situation, through the alleged ass-grabbing, through all of the things that Michael has put Ashley through, it is pretty embarrassing for her to be by his side through all of this kind of stuff. And I think they were trying to make the point of, like, he has disrespected you through this whole process, whether intentionally or not. And she was like, well, his intention wasn't that way. But it feels kind of crazy for Ashley to not be able to admit a little bit that she feels affected or embarrassed by everything that she's been through.
Yeah, I think, because I get what she's saying. How, if she believes nothing happened, what does he have to apologize for? He's a victim too in this.
Yeah.
But just to be able to say, like, no, this totally sucks, and I hate that my life has been affected by this.
Yeah.
I think would have gone a long way.
Definitely. And we saw her get pretty open and honest about her issues with her father and maybe how that has something to do with her relationship with Michael in part one of the reunion. So the fact that she maybe isn't breaking through to that next level of like, yeah, what he did, whether it was right or wrong or what we've been through has affected me, especially with like a pregnancy and all of that, you know, I mean, Ashley has been through a lot in the last year and a half or so.
Yeah.
What did you think about Monique's husband, Chris, in a wig?
Oh, I did not like, I did not care for that.
I mean, he looks just like Miss Shirley. Like, it's really crazy. And to be honest, too, I kind of forgot about Miss Shirley and everything that she's put Monique through. Because obviously this season, the focus has been on Miss Dorothy, and she was even on the reunion stage in part one. But I'm a little bit like, oh, wait a minute. We got another shady mama over there. Like,
that's true.
We need her on the show a little bit more.
Honestly, my dream would be for more of her next season.
Miss Shirley.
But that means that there would have to be a lot of drama, right. You know?
I mean, maybe with the new baby or something. I don't know. There could be something Monique could stir up, I think, if she tried.
Right.
So, Monique, if you're listening, start some beef with your mother-in-law. We need it. Well, for part three, the husbands are going to be out. The accusations about the butt grabbing are at the full front of this conversation. And some more kind of accusations come up about other producers that might have been involved. And all of these women have heard it over the years. It's very layered, and it seems to go back pretty far.
We also were made aware that he grabbed a couple of our producers' butts as well.
I've heard this from more than one.
You've all heard that?
Yes, I have.
So, to the point earlier about Ashley kind of denying all of these things and whatever, it's going to be really hard to see her sit through all of that, because part three is just going to be all eyes on Michael and then in turn on Ashley. I sat down once again with Real Housewives of Potomac's Creole Queen, Gisele Bryant. I asked her if we can expect another lobby fight with Karen Huger in the future, if Robin and Juan Dixon inspired her to rekindle her romance with her ex Jamal, and what it was like to have Michael Darby looming at the reunion. Plus, she speculates if Chris Bassett actually comes from a rich family. You won't want to miss that answer. Here's that interview. We are here with the Creole Queen, Gisele Bryant from Real Housewives of Potomac. Hi, Gisele.
Hi, there's only one Creole Queen, and yes, it's me.
So tell us a little bit about how you felt going into this reunion versus some of the other ones.
Because of the other ones, I kind of would get too much in my head prior to starting the reunion, and I would kind of try to anticipate who was going to scream at me first. And this reunion, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to prepare. I'm just going to woosah. I'm going to get a good night's sleep and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. Yes. You were in the hot seat, I think, right from the get-go in terms of the therapy and the work that you've been doing on yourself. Uh-huh. And there was sort of a unanimous vote that, like, yeah, you changed for what was it, 7 minutes? And
then... Well, they gave me 5. I said 7. Right. Meet me halfway.
Right.
I think that, you know, yes, therapy was great for me. I felt like it helped me just see other people's perspective of how I handle situations. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I am who I am.
Right. Well, even so, I think we've seen you make a lot of progress in terms of with your kids, like just how you've been working with them and listening to them more. So did that come out of therapy as well?
Yes. And so this summer, I took all of them on individual trips, just me and them, which I've never done. I've never even thought to do it. I thought it was more fun when we were all together.
Right.
But I learned so much about them just spending one-on-one time with them, and they appreciated it. And now I share with them, like, all that I do. For instance, I got up the other morning, and I went and got pancake mix at 5:30 in the morning. And normally I wouldn't tell them. I would just, you know, because that's just what moms do. But now I'm like, hey, guys, I got up at 5:30 in the morning to make sure you had pancakes.
Right.
And they're like, really? So they really now are just appreciating me on a whole nother level.
That's great.
Yes.
Going back to the reunion, did you feel like there were still some things left unresolved by the end of it all?
No. I think everything pretty much was handled. Mm-hmm. I think that I would have liked to have seen Candace and Ashley mend something. I felt like they're still at each other's necks. And kind of not rightly so. I think that Candace owes Ashley a huge apology.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Candace owes me an apology. I think that she might even owe Monique an apology. Candace just needs to go on an apology tour.
Right.
Yes.
We didn't see much of that, I think.
No.
She's very steadfast. She's very, like, strong-willed, which is a great quality, but I think in some ways it's working a bit against her.
I think it's more like temper tantrums. Okay, that's what children do.
What about Karen? The two of you are just this incredible, like, frenemy situation. And the last time you were here, Karen was here as well. And it's just the dynamic you guys have is so interesting. So coming out of the reunion, where do you guys stand?
We're good.
Yeah.
We're actually good. We're in a good place. I feel like, you know, being good with Karen is how I've known her for years. It's only here lately where we've been at each other's necks. So I always try to get back to the good with Karen. She doesn't allow us to go there sometimes,
yep.
But I try.
Have you seen the house that she is renting, perhaps purchasing in Potomac?
Leasing with options. What options? No, I have not. But she did tell me that she's having a party coming up, and I am invited.
Oh,
imagine that.
A housewarming or like a...
She didn't say what... She said an old school Huger party.
Okay.
And I know what that is because I've known Karen for years, and I will not be bringing a pizza. I will just be bringing myself.
What about baking cookies?
No.
None of that.
No.
So, God willing, there is a next season. Will there be another lobby fight, or are we done with that?
I want to be so done with it. I really do. The problem is typically we're in a lobby because we've traveled like for a while and I'm tired.
Right.
Karen's tired.
Right.
And we're old. We get cranky. So it never really works out well. But I mean, I would like for Karen and I to be friends and stay in a good space at least for half a year.
Right.
Okay. 30 days.
I would like that too.
30 days.
So you dropped a big bomb on everybody at the reunion that you are working things out and back together with your ex.
Yes.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Did you feel any inspiration perhaps from Robin and Juan and their relationship, or was it everything kind of individual there?
No, didn't feel inspiration from them, but Robin gets how I am totally team Robin and Juan.
Yeah.
Just based off of my story.
Right.
It's kind of weird because he's never like not been in my life. Even when we were divorced, I mean, we're still divorced, but he's never like gone away.
Yeah.
Because of our kids. But I'm happy with where we are right now. I'm happy that we're moving in a direction, you know, just to kind of like bring the whole family back together. I have so much admiration and respect for who he is, and I think it's mutual.
So where are you guys right now? Are you still in sort of this, like, rediscovery phase?
I think we've rediscovered each other.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, but it is, we're not in a rush for anything.
Right.
So it is us just being together and taking our time with it.
How, what do the girls think about it?
It's weird. They're a little confused because they've never known us to be together. So they and they also know why we got divorced.
Yeah.
And they just want to make sure that daddy doesn't do anything wrong again.
How are you learning to rebuild that trust again?
Is
that
him?
Yeah. Is that part of your therapy process now?
No, I actually feel like I let it go. You know, we got divorced 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been over a decade.
Right.
So if I'm still holding on to something from when we got divorced, there's something wrong with me. I have seen him mature in a way that I don't even think about the past anymore.
Right.
And even when people bring it up, I'm like, been there, done that, over that. And I feel like if I can't look, if I can't put it behind me, then we don't have a chance for a future.
Yeah.
So I have put it behind me.
Last night you were on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
And the question came up about Phaedra.
Uh-huh.
There's a little bit of shade there.
Who threw the shade?
Well, just a little bit.
I think
bit
that
of
was Andy Cohen.
I guess so. I mean, we know Andy can be a little shady too.
Yes.
So what if you ran into Phaedra, what would that conversation look like?
You know, I've seen Phaedra.
Okay.
And I mean, there is no conversation. There's nothing to say.
Yeah.
She's doing her thing. She's living her fabulous life, and I'm doing mine.
So she is under the belief that he is Mr. Chocolate.
Who,
Jamal.
I understand that. No, I don't know if she's of the belief. I think that there was rumor that he was Mr. Chocolate.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is not what you believe.
I believe that I'm going to let that die.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dead.
Fair enough. It's dead. Uh-huh. Right here and now.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Uh-huh.
So you talked about taking your girls on a separate vacation. Yeah. Where did you go with everybody?
Good question. So I went to New Orleans with Angel.
Mm-hmm.
We did the whole Essence Fest, all that. I went to, I came to New York with Adore, and we did New York and the Hamptons. And Grace, I took her. I was like, Grace, girl, where you want to go? And she was like, nowhere. You know, Grace is my teenager who is not really feeling mommy at any given moment.
Right.
So we went to Atlantic City, which was a little weird,
right? Yeah.
Who goes to Atlantic City?
Right.
It turned out to be very nice.
That's cool. What did you do there? Was there gambling?
No. We went to, where did we stay? We went to the pool all day.
Mm-hmm.
We ate a bunch of food. And then we came home.
Okay.
Yes, for like 2 days.
Was it like beach weather at the time?
Yes.
You went?
Oh, it was beautiful. So we like stayed in the pool all day.
That's perfect.
Yes.
So let's think about if you were to reconcile, get married again,
mm-hmm.
would you opt for rings or would you go the Robin route
mm-hmm.
and do tattoos?
I'm getting double the ring size I had last time because, you know, that's what she does.
Right.
So my ring last time was about like 4 or 5 carats.
Mm-hmm.
So do the math.
So we're going to upgrade.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
I think
have
so,
have you discussed
too.
That with him yet?
I have not.
Well, you're hearing it here first. So.
Well, to be honest with you, I would like something probably a little less traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would, I mean, you know, like emeralds, like different color stones I think would be nice. Or like we could really do anything.
Yeah.
Be kind of fun.
Well, because you've done it once already. So this time you could have fun with it.
Yeah.
And do something different.
Yeah, but tattoos, no.
No.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about part two of the reunion. What was the vibe in the room when Michael joined the set?
Okay, so Michael looking over the banister and watching us as we were, you know, doing our thing, I felt a little like, look, dude, it's not your turn. When it's your turn, you will put on a suit jacket and you will come down and you will sit behind your wife. Otherwise, go to your little green room or go to the corner or go somewhere and sit. Because I just felt like he was like big brother, like watching over us to make sure we didn't say anything wrong. I didn't like it. It was a little tense when Michael Darby came out because we've all talked about Michael.
Yeah.
We've all had our shady moments with Michael. So we were all like, now we got to face him. That's why I didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
But I'm happy that we did. We're done with it. I don't need to ever talk about him, a penis, a butt grab again.
Do you feel like when the reunion was over, the Darbys and everyone else in the room, was there a sense of peace? Was there a sense of resolve? Or was it sort of like, this is never going to go further?
I think that I was at peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that Ashley shared with me that she felt like I was a little too shady because I thought she got my shady humor. Apparently not.
Right.
So I was kind of happy with them just expressing everything. I was taken aback by some of the things that Michael was saying and just kind of him not owning what happened. Forget like if you really actually did it. you're not owning that this was horrible for your wife to go through. So I didn't like that. But yeah, I think everybody got everything off their chest. It was a moment.
Have you visited Baby Dean yet?
So I think I'm going to see Baby Dean very soon.
Okay.
Ashley has been in a mommy bubble. She is kind of not wanting anybody to break her bubble, and I'm giving her respect, but I think I'm going to have to pop that bubble. I need to see Baby Dean.
Yeah, he's cute. Who do you think he looks more like?
What are you talking about? He looks just like Michael.
I mean, I just wanted to see what you thought, because we've gone back and forth in this office.
What are you talking about?
I am on board. I'm like, he is 100% Michael.
Ashley gave birth to Michael.
Right.
That's it. I mean, that baby looks exactly like Michael.
Yeah.
A cuter version. Michael.
A smaller, cuter version.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I wanted to ask you, too, is you mentioned at the reunion that there is a picture of Ashley's father floating around.
Yes.
And I tried to Google it really quickly,
really?
And I couldn't find it. So I'm very curious to know because I want to compare.
Right. I'm trying to think of who sent it to me, because you know somebody sent it to me.
Right.
And to send it to you.
Yes,
but I got to figure out where I saw it. But yes, he does look like Michael.
That's interesting.
And I shouldn't say that. White men with blue eyes all look alike, because y'all don't.
Because I am a white man with blue eyes, yes. Just FYI, and I don't look like Michael.
Right, but they look very similar. But I will try to dig
deep
in my phone and find that.
Because I found it interesting, too, that Ashley also kind of confronted that part of her where it was like, you know, the daddy issues, quote
yes.
unquote, where she was kind of like, maybe I do have some unresolved issues with my father, and that's the similarities between Michael, because I feel like that's the conversation a lot of people have had about their relationship, viewers, you
yes.
guys on the show. So it was interesting to see her kind of take that journey and recognize it.
Absolutely. And I feel like she's very smart. Ashley knows she's got some daddy issues, as she should. I mean, nobody goes through that unscathed.
Yeah.
I think that it was, she's told me that she didn't have the guts to go knock on his door without the cameras.
Right.
The cameras kind of gave her a little bit more like gusto to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that she did. And she's happy that she did. Cause she at least got a little bit of closure.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the picture of her dad, it was posted because people were like, this is the a-hole that won't talk to Ashley. Like, it was like Team Ashley.
Oh, good. Okay.
About the picture.
Yeah.
So that's why I brought it up. Cause I'm like, this is so great that everybody is like riding hard for you. Not great for your dad,
yeah.
but like great for Ashley.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Another thing I wanted to ask was
yes.
it comes up about Chris Bassett's family
yes.
and like where he's from. So I tried to Google that really quickly
right.
too and couldn't find anything.
No. So you were trying to Google a very rich family that owns half of West Virginia, because
yes.
that's basically what we were told.
Right.
You'll never find it because it doesn't exist.
Interesting.
Because I've been trying to find this very rich family. As a matter of fact, I've asked Candace to take us to West Virginia because I want to meet this guy. I want to be treated like royalty.
Right.
I mean, I want to have the carpet rolled out for me. It doesn't exist.
Well, so it's not the furniture family either that like
no.
Robin was thinking.
No,
too.
No.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
The end on that.
All right, well, thank you so much, Giselle, for coming
yes.
in.
Yes, yes, yes. Anytime.
Real Housewives of Orange County, Arizona. What the hell, Kelly Dodd?
I mean, you know how I feel about Kelly.
I know you love her, but come on.
She's getting a little wild.
Like, honestly, I thought to myself when she, you know, she's explaining to Gina what happened with Shannon and is like, no, I just like tapped her on the head like this, which, by the way, looked hard how she was doing it to
did.
Gina.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was just like, she is out of control.
It was a little light tap. It was a love tap. Actually, I knocked some sense into that bitch. I barely hit her on the head.
The only thing I can go off of, Kelly, is she's here saying she's crying.
Do you want to hit you on the head? I'll hit you on the head.
Don't touch anyone, especially because when you touch someone in a certain way, it elicits this response of rage. And, like, that's what Gina does.
Yeah. I think I appreciate Kelly acting up on the first trip of the season because I think that is important to happen. But they keep saying like 4.5 hours into the trip, like 5.5 hours in. Kelly could have maybe waited.
Right.
At least a full like 12 hours to start drama with everybody.
Let the ladies get a full night's rest.
Well, exactly. And it is a wellness retreat. And there is an opportunity, I think, for everyone to take advantage of it. And what everyone's kind of upset about Kelly for is that she's not really taking it seriously when they did it last episode, and she just was like, I want Costco, I want this. I think the women feel like she's not taking it seriously. She's making a joke out of everything. And then she's acting out almost in a childish way.
Yeah.
So I think if she had just waited until the following day, especially knowing Vicky is showing up, like that is your time to act up because she and Vicky are not in a good place at this point. So I understand where the women are coming from, but honestly, you know, I appreciate a little Kelly Dodd antics.
Okay, but then how did you feel when she's saying to Gina, you're not an accomplished person?
If you were an accomplished woman.
Oh, I'm not an accomplished woman?
No, you're not. Gina's not an accomplished woman. Her life is a hot mess, and mine is actually in a good place, and she's telling me how to act.
Are you an accomplished woman?
Yeah, I am. I've owned 10 homes. I have millions of dollars.
But okay. I don't have the money. We already talked about that.
I don't get DUIs.
You went to jail. You admitted that already.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, that was definitely inappropriate. You know, you can't say that to anyone, despite what you feel about them. I feel like Kelly was just trying to take a small dig at Gina.
Yeah.
Because she knows Gina is a bit down and out right now.
Well, I think she's made enough comments this season that she doesn't really respect Gina, honestly.
Right. But given Kelly's past relationships and experience.
Is that fair?
Is that fair?
No.
And even Bronwyn at one point refers to Gina as like the little sister, and that pisses Gina off as well. And I understand why, because everyone is a little bit making Gina, like knocking her down even more so than she is. And right now we're seeing her in a place that we saw Shannon a few seasons ago, like just really upset, emotional, going through one of the hardest times of their lives. And it seems like nobody is really giving Gina the proper support at the moment. And we see that with her confrontation with Emily as well.
Oh my God.
But also Gina should be a little bit more aware that it's not all about her. It's just that she is so consumed with what she's going through at the moment. I think she might a little bit be overreacting to what everyone's saying and doing to her. She did have a great line in her fight with Kelly where she was like, you're doing a better job at embarrassing yourself. I was like, that is a housewives dig right there.
Oh, totally.
And she's like stormed off, like her extensions were flying behind her. I was like, yes. I was like, this is a good moment for Gina. And then 2 seconds later, she was packing her bags and trying to get out the door. So I was like, no, don't go yet, Gina.
What did you think about the fact that Vicky arrives and then they proceed to stay up and like drink all night like Shannon does?
Well, obviously Shannon did not have a mild concussion. She had no form of any issue.
But the doctor said she did.
No, they showed the footage again where neither Tamara nor Shannon could remember what the doctor said by the end of it. So like if neither one of them clocked like, oh, you need to be careful and not drink tonight or whatever, one of them would have remembered that.
That's true.
To make it all the way to the hospital and then start to consider like filing charges, you know, you need to remember what's happening in that moment. So I think Shannon was overreacting, over dramatizing a bit.
But again, I blame Tamara for that.
Oh, Tamara definitely, she is the pot stirrer this season. I mean, we will say it once and we'll say it again. I do appreciate Vicky showing up with In-N-Out, behaving herself the following morning by staying in the room when Kelly was in there talking.
I was surprised. Guys, I couldn't believe Vicky was just like, all right. Like, I'd be like, are you kidding me?
It was so almost representative to me of the fact that she is now
friend of,
because any other Vicky would have been storming into that room, would never have let Kelly say those things. But I think she was a little bit like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to let this happen. And maybe even let Kelly show her true colors in some ways. Kelly later on confronts Vicky after the like aerial yoga situation, but kind of passively aggressively confronts Vicky because then she says something and then storms out. But yeah, I mean, Vicky was quite well behaved. And honestly, this episode kind of made me miss her as a full housewife. Well, what do you think about Emily and Gina's fight?
Okay. I thought Emily took a big misstep.
Mm.
In that she sort of called Gina out for something that wasn't on camera. And that was, she said, well, I didn't think you going to Las Vegas would be a big deal because you're drinking tequila in the back of a bus. Because right. we didn't see that, right?
No, I think that was like obviously footage that was filmed but never made the episode.
You know what? If you're worried about your image, why are you drinking a bottle of tequila with Shannon in the back of a bus?
Where's that bottle?
Really?
I've never had.
Okay, Emily, thanks.
So that's just not cool.
Yeah. It was a little bit an attack because Emily feels hurt. Hurt people hurt people. And I think everything she's been through with Gina and the fact that Gina wasn't able to go to Vegas and all sorts of things, I think she just doesn't feel supported by Gina right now. And when you're that upset and you're in the moment, you say things you're going to regret. And I think that was one of them.
Mm.
But really, without Gina, like, who is Emily's person?
I think Emily's a little terrified of that.
Well, we know she has this friendship with Vicky that we're not seeing a lot of on the show. Because before
they went lingerie shopping.
Yeah, before the dinner, they went lingerie shopping. And then we also got some bonus footage in this episode from Emily's daughter's birthday party. And it was when Gina had like the painted tiger uh-huh. face. The footage that we saw previously of that, we didn't know Vicky showed up to Annabelle's
right.
party. And then we see the two of them talking. So obviously maybe there's a friendship building there, which is kind of interesting. But without Gina, I mean, Emily needs somebody.
I mean, I also wonder if Emily sort of feels like she picked the wrong horse in a way, because it's like she's coming closer to Vicky. Vicky's no longer the head bitch in charge.
Right. But that could be a good way for then her to get in on Shannon's good side, on Tamara's good side,
yeah.
because we see them have that conversation at Aerial Yoga too. And I do feel like Tamara was a little bit not listening to what Emily was saying in that moment. And Emily was trying to express her feelings. And Tamara was just like, well, you don't do that. You know, you don't show me who you are. Like, I'm not sure. You're not always honest or whatever. And Emily was sort of like, felt she had to be like, I'm sorry, I'm going to work on that and try to be better. But we didn't really hear Shannon or Tamara say, okay, well, we're also going to try to be better for you, Emily.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Do you think Tamara was calling her Shrek?
We heard her call her Shrek.
I got a message on Instagram where someone said to me, hey, did you know that Tamara refers to you as Shrek?
She gets pissed. Like, she becomes like a freaking animal. She becomes like Shrek. She's like an ogre.
No, don't be mean. When you attack someone's physical appearance, to me, that's just as low as you can get.
It's not okay.
It's, yeah. And that was interesting, too, that somebody overheard that and sent it to Emily. I mean, it is the lowest form of insults to talk about someone's physical appearance, especially when it's someone like Emily, who we know has had a lot of body image issues, mm-hmm. has been, you know, treated really poorly by people online. So it's, again, it's like you're hitting where it really hurts. It's not cute.
Not cute. Well, next week, I think the drama continues in Arizona. And I have some super exciting news. The Real Housewives of Orange County after show is coming. It launches October 1st. So make sure you check it out every week on BravoTV.com right after the episode of OC airs.
And it's going to be on YouTube.
So Real Housewives of Dallas, we are in part two of the Mexico trip. Deandra gets schwasted.
That is some next level Deandra.
It makes me really want to be friends with her.
Do you think she was trying to maybe flirt with Stephanie?
I appreciate being entertained, but I don't know what dance this is. I feel like she's trying to have sex with me.
I don't know. I think she's just feeling herself. But it is interesting because you notice that when she's wearing the swimsuit when she's sober, she's always covered up.
Yeah.
She always makes comments about her body in a way that's like you can tell she's maybe self-conscious. But man, this episode, she let it all out.
I mean, it's nice to see her let loose a little bit. We know she's under a lot of stress. She's been handed a business that is not doing well by a mom who has a lot of control over her. So yeah, let loose a little bit.
She does have a nice butt.
She really does have a nice body. She's hot.
Yeah.
We also have another very serious bathroom situation in this episode, which we had talked about previously, about that horrible like gas station they had to pull off to.
Right.
They go to this polo match and the bathroom is like on the other side of this huge field. And it's also, they end up having to pee outside.
Right.
Which was your point about, yeah, which was your thing about last week. You were like, why didn't they just do this before? It seems safer to pee outside.
Especially because you're drinking so much. You can't make that hike 10 times in a day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of steps.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Okay, Cameron, we support you. We support you.
Yeah, I think they're peeing in the bushes.
So let's talk about the dinner where Brandy and Cameron get into it.
Yes. So this keeps coming up with Brandy and Cameron. And we could almost tie it back to what we talked about with Candace and Monique talking about like hood behavior. What Cameron keeps doing to Brandy and what we learn from Brandy is a trigger for her is this comment about trash and trashy behavior. And it really is one of those things that Cameron won't let go. And she keeps, no matter what Brandy does, it always comes back to this trash behavior. And I don't like it.
Don't let her get to me. She's freaking trash.
No, come here.
Oh, yeah. Call me trash. Call me trash, bitch. No, I'm done. I don't want to be part of that. I'm done.
It's not good.
It's not a good look for Cameron. You know, I mean, it's like Brandy is who she is. And her behavior and antics are so entertaining on the show. And I feel like she's so charming in so many ways. And her friendship with Stephanie is just so cute. Like, I just don't understand why Cameron sees Brandy the way that she does.
But I almost feel like it's something Cameron says, but she doesn't mean it the way Brandy takes it. Like, don't you sometimes just look at someone and, or like someone that you don't like, and you're just like, ugh, it's a garbage person.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't mean that they are trash. I don't, it's like when Shep calls Catherine that and calls Madison that, I think he means it.
Yeah.
I don't know that Cameron means it that way.
Right, right. I think, yeah, I think what you're trying to say is that trashy behavior can be one thing, but like being trash is a different thing. And I don't know if she necessarily views Brandy as trash or if it's just the way that she behaves. Cameron doesn't find it amusing, doesn't find it entertaining, doesn't find it charming, perhaps in the way that we do or some of the other women on the show do.
Exactly.
So really the whole thing that triggers Brandy and Cameron's fight is this rooming situation. Is everyone just generally overreacting to this? And is it really that big of a deal? Because I kind of made the point last week of Roni wouldn't stand for this. Atlanta wouldn't stand for this. Everyone should have their own rooms. But at this point, I'm like, you know what? Why not bunk? Like, it is a good opportunity to bond. It is a good opportunity to spend time with people you don't spend a lot of time one-on-one with. But now, it's gone and ruined everything.
Right.
Stephanie doesn't want to sleep in Cameron's room by the end of it because of the things Cameron's saying about Brandy.
I just thought it was a dumb argument.
I mean, it kind of was.
Room together or don't.
But I do love a good napkin in the face.
Yeah, no, I loved that.
That's one of the things I've always wanted to do is like throw a napkin in someone's face, or if they really upset me, throw water on them.
But I have to say, if someone threw a napkin in my face like that, I think my instinct would be to jump across the table.
Yeah. Like Melissa Gorga last season. You're messing with the wrong girl.
With the wrong girl. Totally.
And she was going after someone who had like a shank in her hand. I know. Much. Never mind just a napkin.
That moment really made me respect Melissa, where I was absolutely. Just like, okay, she's not this little prissy pants. Like, she will f*** you up.
Yeah. If you guys remember, I did interview her shortly after that, and I was just like, you had my favorite moment of the whole season. Well, next week, the Real Housewives of Dallas are still in Mexico. Hopefully, we find some resolution between Cameron and Brandy. Hopefully, Leanne comes around a little bit, loses some of that negative Nancy that we're seeing. And hopefully, Deandra's not too hungover.
So I got a chance to talk to Real Housewives of Dallas's Cameron Westcott. We talked about what it's like to have her kids film with her, how she felt after last season's reunion, and how she deals with all the negative attention on social media. Let's take a listen. Welcome back, Cameron.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Another season as a Real Housewife of Dallas.
I know. I cannot believe it's my third season. I mean, it has gone by so fast.
I was just talking to Deandra, and we were talking about the season two curse. Like, a lot of housewives, they have a great first season, and right. The second season is rough. And she's like, nope, Cameron escaped it.
Oh, my God, that's so sweet of her. I know. I feel like it kind of took me two seasons to get warmed up, and I feel like this season, I'm real confident that I really, you know, put myself out there and really showed more colors for everyone to see.
Right. You know, so I was at the reunion last season and things got really heated, I feel like, for everyone. Mm-hmm. How did you leave things and how was it between that time and the beginning of filming this season?
Yeah, well, we left that reunion with nothing was solved. I mean, there was like no closure on anything. I felt like I left that reunion super upset because it was just a lot of awkwardness. And I was hoping we were going to have closure with a lot of people, but no, there was no closure whatsoever. And then going into the new season, I just felt like there's going to have to be a lot of conversations to move forward with some of these women.
Yeah. So what were some of those conversations?
Yeah, well, you know, Deandra and I, right off the bat, have a good conversation and we, you know, move forward with our relationship. So I feel like that was really important for us. And I felt like we really got in a good place where, you know, we can have fun together again and hang out. So,
yeah. And you and Stephanie, I feel like, really have grown close too.
Yeah, we've grown, you know, really, really close. And I felt like we hung out outside of the group of women. When we were not filming, we started hanging out. So I feel like that really helped our relationship. So I could really get to know her more one-on-one. She was the only lady I felt like in the group that I really didn't feel like I was super close to yet. So I really wanted to, you know, put myself out there and try to get to know her more. And you will kind of see our relationship, you know, have some hurdles this season though.
Do you think it was sort of the absence of Brandy that helped you guys get closer?
For sure. I think that definitely did help. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mexico trip seemed a little intense.
Oh, yeah. It was intense. I mean, it was super intense. But it also was fun. You know, after we worked out the drama and my famous napkin throw, we, you know, all got in a good place, you know? So.
Well, so it felt like what started that tiff between you and Brandy was this idea of cliques in the group. But I felt like I was missing something, like why it got so heated between you two.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming, to be honest. I had no clue she was going to get so heated when I talked about, you know, the group having cliques. And I mean, it's very obvious the group has cliques. I mean, that's just a natural thing that you know, a group of women will always have. You can't prevent it. But I do think that there's so many side conversations going on, and it was frustrating. And I'm like, you know what? Let's all talk about it together and get to the bottom of things. And so, you know, obviously Brandy, of course, didn't really want to do that. And she, you know, got real heated. Mm.
So we have a new Carrie in the group.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
Okay, Carrie is amazing. I love Carrie. She is like the life of the party. She is so much fun. I enjoy being with her. I'm actually like so tired right now because Carrie is too much fun for me, and she's been in my room all week, and there is like no sleeping. So I'm like, we both have been staying up to like 4 a.m. talking.
What?
When her and I get together, it was like talk, talk, talk. I love to talk. I have a problem. My husband's always like, go on a girl's trip so you get your talking out. So when you come home, you're going to be tired and you won't talk. So the fact that when I hang out with Carrie and we never stop talking, it's like it gets exhausting sometimes. So I'm a little tired because we've been having way too much fun.
Fun with tequila or just talking?
Both, okay. Actually, yeah. I mean, it's so funny because, for instance, when we were flying to Thailand, we literally talked 8 hours of the Thailand flight. Like,
oh my straight. Gosh.
And people were like, other ladies of the group were coming by, have you guys seriously been talking for 8 hours? And we're like, oh my God, we have. Oh my gosh. It is the funniest thing.
Yeah. How is your mother-in-law doing?
Yeah, she's doing great. She's really, you know, she's one of my best friends. She's doing awesome.
Are we going to see her this season?
Yes, you will see her more this season.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I get a lot of advice from my mother and my mother-in-law. So the fact that she, you know, agreed to be part of this experience with me is amazing. And I love her advice, and she always gives me great advice. So I'm excited that people get to see the source where I get my advice from.
Yeah. What if your kids think of the cameras?
You know, my son is not crazy about it because he feels like the cameras take mommy time away, and he gets really upset. And, you know, as long as I promise him we will snuggle right after the cameras leave, he's completely fine. And my daughter, she wants to be an actress one day. She loves to act. And so she feels like this is just great experience for her because, you know, it's giving her experience to be in front of a camera, and she loves it. And she is such a firecracker. And I think it's the perfect thing for her. But I always tell them, I say, you don't have to film. I'm never going to force them to film. If they want to be upstairs and be away from the cameras, I fully support that. And, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, say my kids are not hanging out today because they're just not in that right mindset today.
Right.
And I respect that.
That's great. How is Sparkle Dog doing?
Yeah, Sparkle Dog's doing great. I'm really focusing right now on my chewy multivitamin treats. Those have been amazing. And it's kind of like a Flintstone vitamin for dogs, you know, and children and adults. We all need our multivitamins. And this is like a little treat, but it has vitamins in it. And so the dogs love them, and, you know, they can't get enough. And I also have a shampoo as well, and I'm going to continue to develop that as well. And I obviously am working on a new recipe right now for Sparkle Dog. It's taken a lot more time, and I've been sold out, and I never in a million years thought I was going to be sold out before my new recipe came in. So it's a little, you know, awkward and embarrassing, but at the same time, I'm not going to rush it because I want this recipe to be perfection. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I've nailed it. So that's now amazing. It's just a matter of waiting for the shipment.
Did you ever model? Because you are so
yes,
tall.
I did model actually when I was younger, and I stopped when I went to college just because I decided I wanted to be in a sorority and have pizza and eat junk food at late night, and that didn't work out well. You're modeling, you got to be very, you have to eat healthy. So I was not making good decisions in college. So my modeling career kind of ended at that time.
Do people ever reach out to you now with opportunities?
You know, no, they haven't actually. Nope, they haven't. But, you know, I actually, when I modeled, I specialized in runway, and that's like my favorite thing on the planet. And if I ever tried to walk now, I think I would probably fall on my face. But yeah, I would have to have a few lessons again.
Well, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills just walked Kyle Richards' show.
My gosh, I know. That was amazing. I was blown away at how good they all walked.
So I know that Carrie and Deandra both are not in a place where they're talking to Leanne. Mm-hmm. But you seem like you've always been on Leanne's team, in a sense, are you guys still in a good place?
Yes, Leanne and I, you know, we've had a few issues. You know, we are moving forward. I'm trying to be positive. There is a lot of things that we still need to talk about that would probably get us into a better place. But, you know, in terms of DeAndre and Carrie, you know, their issues, like, I get sometimes why Leanne gets upset with both of them. I understand. At the same time, you know, I get both sides of everything. So it's like, because I hear both sides from all the women. But Leanne and I, we definitely have things that we need to talk about and work on to have a better relationship right now.
So of everyone in the group, who would you say today you're closest to?
I'm definitely closest to Carrie Brittingham. Yeah, the newbie.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. And were you guys welcoming to her, or was there any hazing?
I have to be honest. When there's a new girl in their group, I'm always welcoming, and I'm always open to getting to know them. I mean, for instance, I was petrified of getting to know Leanne when I first joined the show, and I almost didn't do the show because I was so scared of her big character and her big, presence. But after I got to know her, I was like, this chick is cool. So it's like, I'm very open-minded with meeting new people, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like with Carrie's first season, a lot comes at this part of it where the show is airing and people are reacting on social media. Are you kind of helping guide her through that?
Yeah. I mean, I tell her, you know, not to let the negative comments bother her. I mean, my first season, I had so many negative people attacking me. Oh, your voice is so annoying. I have to fast forward because your voice. I'm like, okay, first off, I can't change my voice. I mean, I could go to voice lessons, but when will I have time for that? You know, it's like something like, hello, it's just like, why pick on people or things you can't change? And I tell Carrie, do not listen to the haters. And I have to be honest, like when the haters come at me, sometimes I look at their profile and I'll be like, ooh, girl, like I'd be pretty pissed off too if like, you know, I was doing some of the things they're doing in their photos.
Do you often respond?
You know, I usually don't, but like sometimes I get so annoyed, I will respond and I will just kill them with kindness just to be annoying. And usually they go away then. And it's so funny. I've had a hater that was like so mean to me. And she was like, your eyebrows are awful. And I looked at her profile. And I'm like, oh my God, her eyebrows are awful too. I'm like, she has a unibrow. And so I wrote to her and it goes, okay, well, if you think my eyebrows are so awful, will you please give me advice? And she wrote, she goes, I've actually never shaped my eyebrows or ever plucked in my life. So I can't give you advice. And she goes, but I'm so excited you reached out. Oh my God, you're my favorite now.
Oh my
and I'm
God.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't. Like, this is too much.
Also, your eyebrows are pretty normal.
I know, right? I'm like, thank you. I'm like, I just like never would like be like, I mean, who are these people? I'm gonna like, I mean, I don't understand what it takes for somebody to look at someone's photo and then reach out and then like dog them for an eyebrow. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, no, go do something else better with your life.
Yeah. Do you and Court watch back the episodes together?
We usually watch the episodes together, yes. Sometimes he'll be in a bad mood and he doesn't want to watch them because he's like, I have too much anxiety about business or something. I don't want more anxiety watching this. And he'll watch it like a few days after I do. But he usually watches it with me. But then if I'm nervous about the episode, I'll usually watch it secretly before him just so I know I can prepare myself before he watches it. So sometimes I'll sneak it and watch it before him.
Does he give you feedback?
Yes, he'll definitely give me feedback. And he has a big opinion with how I, you know, behave sometimes on camera, big opinion. But he's usually really positive and he usually always says I did good in the situation. So
what's one thing that he was just like, you should not have done that?
Oh God, let's see. There's been a lot of things. I'm trying to think. God, I can't think of anything specific now.
What do you think he'll say about the Mexico napkin incident?
Oh, yes. He was like, why in the world did you throw a napkin? And I explained it to him and he goes, oh, okay, I get it. But what I love about my mother-in-law, I explain the story to her as well. And you'll see this on, you know, as the show plays. And she's just like, oh, girl, I would have done a lot worse if someone said that to my face.
I mean, of all the things to throw, a napkin is pretty.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's pretty,
I know,
tame.
But it's so funny because it's like so out of my character to right. do something like that. And it's just like looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, that was so bad.
Of all the things that you guys did film this season, what are you most excited for people to see?
Let's see. I think I'm excited for people to be able to see that I am a big jokester and I love pranks and I love having fun. And I feel like in previous seasons, like for some reason under the circumstances, like I feel like I didn't really get to show that side of myself. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just the activities we were doing that maybe I wasn't into, or it was maybe just that I didn't feel like the relationships I had with the girls were strong enough yet to feel comfortable with them. And now I really have strong relationships with these women. So maybe it's just that I'm letting my guard down now and I feel comfortable so people can see that I am fun and that I am a prankster. And yeah.
Well, I can't wait to watch the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Let's do Rose and Thorn. What was your rose?
My rose was Deandra at that dinner in Real Housewives of Dallas and Leanne trying to have a conversation with her and being like, we're getting back in the van or was it the bus? And she was like, a fan and just was like cracking up at nothing right. But like she was just so drunk
yeah, the drunkest we've seen her.
Everybody's in the van and we should just go join them in the van and go back to the house.
There's a van. There's a van.
We came here in a van.
Okay.
My rose was from Below Deck Med and it was Chef Ben's impression of the guest who was like, oh my God, oh yes, I was on a yacht once and I had snail. It was divide. Like it was a full stand-up comedian moment for me that I really, really appreciated. And it just made me grateful that we have Chef Ben back in the picture.
Yeah.
So there was this one time I was on a yacht in the south of France and this chef, he gave me a snail. Oh, I can still taste it now.
My thorn was from Below Deck Med and it was this charter guest that was hitting on Hannah the whole time and then is like, yeah, well, no, I have a girlfriend.
I know.
Like, dude, either hide it till the end and let her get hers without any guilt.
Right.
Or don't be a douche and, like, hit on someone when you're taken.
Right. I loved it, too, because Aisha was like, these people are so boring. And I was like, they really are. Because then they show the footage of them being like, oh, taxes in New York City are crazy. You know, and I'm just like, oh, my God.
Right.
So, yeah, I think, you know what? Hannah probably ended up dodging a bullet with that guy anyway.
Yeah.
But she probably just wanted to get laid.
Exactly.
At that point.
And as she should. What's your thorn?
My thorn was from Married to Medicine, and it was Quad being late to her dinner with Dr. Simone. Because we know that if there's already tension, being late, whether it is a Housewives franchise, whether it is Married to Medicine, it will not end well. And to prove my point, that dinner did not end well. The crab boil came up. Why are we bringing things up from the past? Messy, but beautiful. Next week, we have Vicki Gunvalson from Real Housewives of Orange County and Leanne Locken from Real Housewives of Dallas. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.